Sue and I have been a double act for, oh my goodness, about 25 years now. And we're not taxonomists. We are not curators. We don't look after biological collections, and we do not write identification keys. So you might ask, what on earth are we doing standing and sitting up here? But what we do is we've been drawing together all of the fabulous resources that you really clever people produce over the last 25 years. And we've been attempting to teach people identification in the field and to also put this into an academic context. So, as Alistair was saying, that not only teaching them how to identify, but why it is that particular thing. And it's also very gratifying to see how many faces there are who have been through the University of Birmingham and the Manchester Met programme that we've run jointly with the Field Studies Council. So, identification and taxonomy. Well, why cornflakes? I think to start off with, last year I got married, and I married an amateur dipterist. What was I thinking, ladies and gentlemen? And he was so frustrated using some hoverfly keys about this one point in the dichotomous key. It worked all the way through. You're almost getting to your species identification. And then there was this one couplet that said, abdomen yellowish-orange, or abdomen orange-yellow. So, really, what this is about is for you fabulous people who understand the taxonomy, we're talking about getting the taxonomy out there and making it usable and engaging. And what we're saying is make your keys engaging, make your keys useful. And I'm a great fan of Grayson Perry, to change the subject completely. And I happened to notice that he was curating the summer exhibition across the courtyard. And lo and behold, there was one of those exhibits, the taxonomy of the cornflake. So brilliant, a bit of really abstract taxonomy here. So Anne Griffiths, you wonderful person, I have completely stolen and plagiarised your work and key and everything today. And here is Anne working on her taxonomy of the cornflake. Ooh, come on, there we go. Now, what we recognise as taxonomy, it's a system of ranks, it's about describing specimens and so forth, but we all know that blurb, so we can forget about that. But this was Anne's actual exhibit. This was what Grayson Perry chose to exhibit at the Royal Academy this summer. And as you can see, it is a display of cornflakes. And they are beautifully presented, pinned using proper mounting pins. And they have, these are species names, believe it or not. These are the cornflake species names. And she came up with what she called a key for identifying them. Now, I tried to persuade a lot of you to get engaged with these cornflakes over lunch, but I think the sandwiches were too good. I knew I was onto a loser there. But I brought three samples of cornflakes in, and I brought some Asda cornflakes, I brought some Kellogg's cornflakes, and I brought some Tesco cornflakes. Oh, dear. Says a lot about where I shouldn't shop. And she used a whole range of them. So what she did, her description was the cornflake index system, i.e. a key. It's designed to easily identify cornflakes with different characteristics. And the first letter is the brand, followed by the size, colour, texture, shape, edge, contortion, which I didn't include, and conjoinment. And so
first of all, in order to come up with your species name, as it were, it's basically, this is a multi-access key. So first of all, you need to know where it was found, where your specimen was found, before you start identifying it. Well, luckily for you, I left a little clue in each of those. I think the unlabeled one was Tesco. So you only had Asda, Kellogg's and Tesco to have a look at. And size and colour. Now, Anne is an artist. And to have your art selected by Grace and Perry, I think that makes you a pretty innovative and brilliant person. Is Anne a taxonomist? Ah, right. Now, size and colour. Size, 0. I have no idea how you'd go about measuring that. Perhaps it was an absent cornflake. To 9, on a relative scale. Now, my plea to you, don't use totally abstract relative scales in your keys. But of course, people do. You see, large, small. What on earth is large and small in a key? When you have got beginners starting to engage with taxonomy and field identification, things like yellowish, large, small really don't help because they've got nothing to compare it against. Normal. Now, political correctness in that. What on earth is normal? Again, texture, normal, holes, bubbles, smooth. Well, we could engage with those. Those are reasonable attributes for you to have a look at. Edge, normal or frilly? Well, okay, I can envisage a frilly edge, but perhaps a smooth edge might have been a better one. And then we've got shape and conjoinment, oval, long, teardrop, asymmetric. Now those start to get to be a little more quantifiable. So those you could possibly use not only in your description of your cornflake species, but of course in your key as well. And conjoinment, I don't know how many conjoined cornflakes I've had in there, either single, double or triple. Whoops. So how easy are these categories to use? Now, this is really just a little bit of fun because Anne's point wasn't that you should be able to identify a cornflake and give it a name. She was just looking at how we look at differences, even in very, very similar things like a cornflake. So did anyone actually do the key over lunch? Oh, at least 3-4 of you. Oh, hooray. Right. Did anyone pick up on any other characters? Did anyone taste them? Yeah, well, yeah, crunchiness. But again, how would you quantify crunchiness? And that's a really difficult one. The one thing that stood out to me was that Kellogg's... Oh, no. Good. Look, tuck in, there we go. Don't want you to feel deprived. But the whole point is that, again, sweetness. Kellogg's was so much sweeter than the other two, but how do you quantify that in a key? So describing a specimen as a taxonomist, it's not enough. If you're going to communicate it, you need to be able to come up with characteristics that people can engage with. We all know about the taxonomic impediment, and we need to know that we have to fill that absolutely massive gap. So what Sue and I have been doing over the past 25 years is actually trying to do that at the chalk face, or the interactive whiteboard face as it is now. And of course there are well documented concerns about the lack of skills in taxonomy. So the final part of our work, after we had figured out how we could teach identification, mark it academically and figure out how much people had learned, the next step was obviously to go on and devise a system to test how good people were in the field. And Sue's going to talk a little bit more about that. So cornflakes, how easy are they to identify? It's interesting to have a think about what characters worked well in identification and were there some missing.
taste, smell, sound. But of course, how on earth do you quantify those? But then there are some taxonomic groups, bats for example, where if you are surveying out in the field, you will be using a set of identification characters that if you have got a dead bat in front of you in your collection, you would not have a hope of getting it to squeak, however hard you hit it. So field characters are very different to collection characters, and it's joining that gap and making usable keys. And this is what Sue is going to talk about. And actually, Peter has laid the path for us beautifully with how wedded are we to traditional dichotomous keys that give you an either or. And I think that's my key to hand over to Sue. But just before I do, taxonomy of cornflakes, I think they're apomictic.
Thank you. Okay, I think that we've just seen one for timber. We've just seen the brilliant multi-access key where you could actually get in at any level with a series of characters. And often, I can remember, because it wasn't that long, yes it was ages ago, when I was at university and we were taught identification, they were frowned on. They were frowned on because they weren't natural keys. They didn't follow an evolutionary taxonomy. Because they were about what you could see, who was interested in that? You had to do something more deep and meaningful and academic with it, which was frustrating for us mere undergraduates at times when we wanted to start off with some characters that you could see. You could see it was red or black. You could see it was big, and you could actually put numbers on that bigness. And that was quite frustrating, I think. And taxonomy came through a series of multi-access keys. And some of us might remember punch cards. Do you remember punch cards? And you could put your needles through and you could get an answer. And some of those were brilliant because you got an answer that you didn't believe, but you got it quickly. And you could go back and put your knitting needle in a different place and have another go. And it was quite quick. You didn't have to labour down to the ready orange body 2 hours later under your microscope. And we don't want to frustrate our learners. We want to engage people. So I think lateral keys at least give you a quick answer. I'm not saying they always give you the right answer, but at least I think they eliminate some of the frustration because they can use the characters that people can see. So what am I going to talk about next? I'm going to tell you about my tree. Now, glamorous assistant here taught me how to identify this tree because we met in a very funny relationship. She ended up teaching courses for us, and I thought, oh, that's how you tell this is a particular tree, which grew on the site that I managed. I knew what it was, but I didn't know why I knew what it was. So this is a sort of critical approach to looking at the characters. And this particular tree, you may eat it if you choose to, but I wouldn't if I were you. This particular tree, I wondered what we would do if we found, it's a real tree, it's not a spoof, and there it is with a little bit of a ruler for scale. And what I want you to have a go at is, you've got a jizz of what it looks like, and I'm glad Peter doesn't like conifers, because at least we've chosen a different one, but that was by chance. So have a good look at it, you might have a guess at it, but don't tell me yet. And what I want you to do is tell me if the cone comes from the same tree using this particular key, and this key is a multi-axis key, which is slightly simpler than the one we've seen before. Please work. You know that sort of feeling where you think, oh, this is going to work. And it was developed by somebody called Matt Parrott. Now, Matt is very much he's a BSBI referee. And for those of you who don't know what that means, he works for the Botanical Society of British Isles as a volunteer. And he will tell anybody who sends him in a bit of conifer what it is, and they've recorded it in the wild. And that's what he does as a volunteer. He happens to work for the Forestry Authority as well. But basically what he does is he's got this great matrix, which we've all got, of characters of the plants that we find difficult or the animals we find difficult. But he put it together in one big spreadsheet. And with the help of somebody called Rich Birkmar, who is, in my opinion, nothing short of a genius, he's done what you've already seen in terms of a key. And he's produced this online key, and I take exactly what Deb said when she started talking. She said, quite often, all these lovely multi-access keys do not work. Was it in Cumbria in the rain? Yeah. And aren't you right? Because so many of the things, when you want, you saw me praying I could get online, you know, I mean, these things are not quite field ready yet. I'm not pretending they are. This one actually nearly is. You can now download it onto your appliance, whatever that happens to be, to use. And so you can actually just about do it. But can you just about read that? I knew it was going to be small, but I can read through some of it. You can click on what your conifer's got. Many conifers in life have got cones. So that's what I want to click on to start with. And then it's being pedantic. Is it a cone or a berry? It's a cone. I'm going to tell you something. When I looked up into my tree, this character asked me whether it was up, mixed, apical, or down. Okay, so was it? They were everywhere. Mixed, barely describes it, so they were indeed mixed. Okay, how big is it, chaps? You've got one, give me an estimate. Okay? We want it in centimetres, so shall I say about 5? Are you happy with that? Yeah? Okay. And then it asks you for shape. Now, I told you this was a draft key. It is available. Ovoid. So, wait, you can have cylindrical. No. Egg-shaped? Okay, we're going with egg-shaped. Well, I think those need little diagrams next to them, don't you? I could argue with a lot of people on what was egg-shaped, what was tulip-shaped. Do they mean the bulb or do they mean the flower? So I think that... Okay, what about bracts? Have we got bracty bits sticking out beyond the cone scales? No, are you happy with that? That was with lots of head shaking, so I presume we've got a no there. And what about the scones? What are scones? What about the cone tips? The choice that Matt's given us is it's entire, a small hook, blunt, hooked, little spine. What are we going to go for on that? We're referring to the tips of the cones. So, the scales. Shapes or structures at the cone scale tips. The options here are entire, which I take to mean completely smooth, a small hook, blunt, which in my opinion could also be entire, hooked, short spine, lips, coarse teeth, a prickle. It hasn't got an option yet for none of the above. Blunt. Oh, I went hooked, sorry. That was a slip of the... Okay. You've got sharp, have you? Oh, dear. Let's try... Well, it could be entire, I suppose. I don't mind what you go with. Do you want to go for it? Well, let's leave it as it is for a minute, because I think you've got the idea. Have you got the idea so far? Did I? Thank you. Food, never been, you know, anything edible. Is that better? Thank you. Right. The way that, what I would argue is the good thing about computerised lateral keys, rather than ones you have to put knitting needles through, is actually you've come up with an answer pretty quickly on a series of very small number of characters. And it's listed the characters on the right-hand side. It's given you joint top choice of the same genus, which is quite reassuring. So it's given you the same genus of two different species. So then what it would ask you to do, or what I would do with it, is to go back to those two species and think, well, of those two, which one is it then? So if I've done that really quickly, so if I go back to... You can see this is new, being developed. Bear with me. Direct comparisons is the next one. And so on direct comparisons, all you do is tick the ones. And we had, which Pinuses was it? Nigra was one. And was it Sylvestris, guys? Help me out. And then if you go, has it come up? Yes, it has. Pinus Sylvestris. Oh, Nigra hasn't come up. Hang on a minute. That's my typing, I'm sure. There's the two together. So it then gives you a quick visual. Can you see that? It's only quick, and then the ones in blue are when there's no difference. Okay, so it could be browny orange or reddy brown. It isn't. The ones that are in orange are where you've got a difference. So you can see the differences on the needle length, which you haven't got. I'm sorry, you haven't got a bit of... Oh, you have. Oh, well done. Is it 5 to 7? It's a short one, thank you. So far we're looking on the left. And then we're going down every other character to have a look. The leaf, is it glaucous? You've got a bit of your leaf, is it glaucous? Yeah, a bit shriveled, sorry about that. So basically, there's not very much difference between them, because as they say right at the bottom here, our cones, whether they've got a blunt bit, which is what we put in, or a small hook or blunt, so there's a bit of a weasel word for you, so it's quite political, isn't it? People weasel out of things. But by and large, from what we can see, we're probably heading slightly more on the evidence of a leaf towards Nigra than Sylve... No, that on Sylvestris than Nigra, because we've got those small leaves. Does that make sense? Okay. Go on. Okay, yeah. No points. Okay. So, but do you get the idea of that? It's a user-friendly, relatively quick, then you can check it out, then you'd have pictures, then you could argue about which was his blunt. To be honest, I can also argue about the egg-shaped. I don't find it very egg-shaped. No. So I think that now he's got the matrix to work, he needs the descriptors to help people more. So this is, it's nearly there, and it's now available, and you can use it, but it's not perfect, and nobody's trying to pretend it's perfect. So I haven't brought it here as a shining example of the perfect lateral key, but I've brought it to you as an example of an approach that's getting a lot of praise from people who aren't very experienced at using keys. Does that make sense so far? Okay. Sorry. Yes, I think there is one that I nearly brought, but I didn't bring it because I couldn't bring enough practical things to show you. There is one that's done, and it's on earthworms. And it's done, and I couldn't bring you lots of pickled earthworms because you need microscopes, etc., etc. But the Natural History Museum, Emma Sherlock, has done the diagrams to go with that key. And those have the diagrams of all the features, which now matches from and Field Studies Council. And you all know us from our AGAP keys, and we've got Bex here in the audience today. And it matches that completely. So it's an interactive key that mimics what the traditionalists have through the AGAP key. So I agree with you completely. It needs more descriptions. But so we're still... Yeah, yeah, you're right. Okay, so my confession is the conifer key is in development. I like what's there so far. It needs a bit more work, but it has enabled some results. How sure are you of your data? Do you think it was a Pinus? Yeah, it was, I promise. And it probably was Sylvestris. In fact, it was Sylvestris. I won't be kidding. It was Sylvestris. So that's what it was. So we can be sure of it from that. But there were problems with the key. But remember that we've already heard from so many of you today that a lot of our identifiers, if I can call them that, within museums, within collections, they're volunteers. Some of them may have had formal training. Many of them will have learned as they went along with coaching and help.
Some of them may have been on a Sarah Wilde course, so of course they've been brilliantly trained. Some of them may have fumbled through with Sue on a not such good one. And there's a real variety of different trainers out there as well. So even if you've gone through academia and you've gone through a university, there's an awful lot of university lecturers who aren't as good as Alistair, who aren't as good as our friend over here. Sorry, I've forgotten your name and I'm hopeless at French pronunciation. But basically, we have people who are good within the university sector. I went to a university, I'm not going to tell you which one, that possibly wasn't quite as good, because I found quite a few mistakes in some of my old herbarium specimens when I looked back on them when I grew up a bit. And I suspect there are other university lecturers nowadays that suffer from the same thing that perhaps your wife did. They need to phone a friend or indeed a husband. So I think there are people out there teaching who don't necessarily know, so we have to help them. So, having said this, we need to evaluate. If we need to help people, then we need some way of measuring how good people are. And I'm putting you this one, which is from the BSBI. Again, I mentioned the BSBI already. And there is already a qualification out there. And I know a lot of people know about it, but some people don't. How many people here have heard of field identification skills certificates? So it is worth saying, because there's only about five of us in the audience. And it's a qualification that consists, well, I'll let you read it, of a couple of bits. You start in the morning being very nervous, being assessed, and you're given 10 specimens. They're 10 specimens that I'm sure everybody in this audience could identify. There's usually a bit of bracken, there's often a bit of oxeye daisy, and there's no ones that trick you up, okay? So that we're not putting in some nasty betula and asking you to say if it's pubescence or not, you know? So they're quite straightforward, but you need to know them without any resources. When you've done that bit, you go along with 20, which are a bit piggy, to be honest. You might even have a hybrid there. You might have the odd grass, the odd sedge. You must definitely have something ferny. You'll have something from outside the area where it's being hosted, because we get cunning people to send specimens in. So there are a lot of things that might challenge you. Then you have lunch, you can breathe. And then you get dragged out onto a site that, which we hope, if we've got our research right, you don't know very well, you haven't been to before. And you then make a list of every vascular plant, because so far it's only vascular plants, you can see on that site and record with some accuracy. And then we compare you, not to a summer's day, but to a botanical recorder of some repute, who can, we hope, record accurately on that site. And we compare those two lists. And at the end of that, you get a score. So that's it in simplicity. And you get a little certificate from the BSBI to say you are level, whatever you are. You're unlikely to be level 7 because it's sort of national experts and we are not worthy. If you put yourselves in for a field identification skill certificate, you are also unlikely to be level 1 because you probably want to be assessed for some reason. So you're probably somewhere, we hope, from a 2 to about a 6. We think most professionals now, and people are taking this qualification, most professionals that do it in consultancy, for example, a decent consultant doing a species list for a site will be about level 4. And this BSBI certificate, which Sarah and myself helped to develop, in fact, we did develop it, what we are hoping is it could be adopted more widely. So far, we've had, 600 people take it? So far, we're doing quite well, and the industry is recognising it, and it's now appeared in job descriptions every now and again. Is it to actually get this job, you need to have a level FISC, which is meaning it's being accepted in the wider world, including by Natural England. They, too, run their own field identification skills certificates. We think it's important to assess identification skills. We don't have one for beetles, Darren. Would you mind? But there are other places that we possibly could use this sort of skill. And I know what Steph and I were talking about, what other taxa could we usefully assess? You just think about the complications. Actually, field sampling for beetles, for dragonflies, for butterflies. There are several things that are slightly more complicated. So I'm not saying that this directly transfers over to other taxa. But there are some taxa that it could actually work on. So we're still thinking about that. Okay, so if there was a cornflake FISC, would you have passed that cornflake FISC? Species 1, 2, and 3, we know they were Asda, Tesco, and Kellogg's. So you had a look at them. We know there were some features in the key that possibly would have been useful to add. The crunchiness, the sweetness. Your scale of crunchiness would have to be described. This is already happening in, for example, fungal keys. If you look at fungal keys, colour charts and scales are well documented, and your fungi key comes with a little colour chart. So it is possible to do this. I don't quite know how you do crunchiness, but anyway, well, I'll think about it. But there are things you could do. Taste, of course. Apple keys, when you're teaching out orchard fruits, taste is actually identified. So it does exist. But in conclusion, and I'm not quite sure what time, have I whittled on too long, David? Okay. We all know this, and I think so many of us have said this in our presentation, so I'm sorry that this repeats, but I still think it's really important. We think ID skills are important, and they're needed in so many things. We think that the aids to both identification and recording should be shared as much as we possibly can, especially to educators, trainers and users, because those are the people who are developing this. Those new technologies do work. They've got problems, and I'm not saying there aren't, and the good old-fashioned key, especially well illustrated, well explained, and I stand here proud to be associated with the Field Studies Council, who do a lot of those, and you've been very kind as to mention those in other presentations this morning. They'd still work, which is brilliant. We need more work in evaluating ID skills. That might mean more FISCs. If anybody wants to play, then come and see Steph or myself, and we'll see what we can do. We'd love to collaborate more between field identifiers and taxonomists, because sometimes when you work for, in my case, an educational charity, and Sarah's case, the BSBI now, then there's a lot of gaps in our connectivity. And that means you beaver away, and it's only thank you, Linsock, for actually bringing us together occasionally to share these things, because that's the sort of thing that's important. Personally, I believe that multi-access and lateral keys with these enhanced technologies really have a role. And I'm seeing lots of nods there because it really helps people to get some answers. So this is really our message for the day. So Sarah and I want to say thank you, especially for joining in, because you never know how well these interactive sessions are going. Sometimes people just hide. There is no significance on the shapes of the cornflakes. Some people have said I'm a bit holy and Sarah's a levy, but anyway, there's no significance on that. But Anne Griffiths, who's got no idea we're talking today and using her cornflakes, if you ever see her, please say we thanked her in spades and we're really pleased that she did the taxonomy of our cornflake, which actually helped us to have a little think of how to identify things. Thank you for listening.